Please open your Bibles now to Isaiah 53. As Isaiah throws out the rhetorical questions, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then across the page, Isaiah 55 and verse 5 echoes this same theme. In 55:5, Isaiah says, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee." And then again in Psalm 18, if you would bear with me and just turn to Psalm 18 so I can lay the foundation here for our sermon this morning. Psalm 18:43. "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people." That's the Lord Jesus this verse is speaking of. "And thou hast made me the head of the heathen." And the word heathen there is simply a synonym in the Old Testament for the Gentiles. "A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me." These are beautiful words in Scripture, and they explain why you and I, as Gentiles, are gathered here in Martinez, Georgia, at Westside Baptist Church this very morning, worshiping the very God about whom these passages are speaking. And also today, millions upon millions of other Gentiles are gathered together, of course, in many places around the world. Suffice it to say that millions upon millions of Gentile believers in the last day or two have gathered together to worship the God of the Bible and even to worship the God of Israel. Just the other day, this is very common for us, as you know, from the last time we were here and how the Lord has blessed us out of the blue 3.5 years ago with a tremendous ministry really to the Asian people of Alaska, and they're coming in by the thousands, not necessarily immigrating, but they come in three ways. We have thousands who come to Alaska from China to see the aurora as tourists, to see the northern lights. And that's, for many of them, it's a dream of a lifetime to see the northern lights. And then there are those who actually live and work in our area in either the restaurant business, as you know, or the nail shops. And so those two combined, my wife and I are ministering to about 12 places of business in our area, meaning the owners and the workers, and making sure that they have Bibles in their language and giving them the opportunity through dinner invitations in our home, giving them the opportunity to hear the gospel and help them understand it over a period of time. And we're seeing people saved. We've seen even more saved since we were last here last year about this time. And so God is blessing that. And then there are the college students who come from China every summer, not only to Fairbanks, but all over the nation. I'm sure they come here to your area as well. They're called J-1 students because of the number that's on their visa, their temporary visa. And they will come from China to improve their English and to learn our culture. And so we have about 50 Chinese college students that come to Fairbanks every summer. And my wife and I have become an official part of the team that helps them and transports them and helps them get their work numbers when they first arrive, helps them get to their place of living and get settled in. And we'll even be the first ones sometimes to welcome them to America and greet them at the airport and start building those friendships throughout the summer. And it's very exciting to see them arrive with no knowledge of God and leave out 4 months later with much more knowledge of God and having seen the gospel, hopefully, and some of them are very near salvation. And this is where she and I get our invitations then, come meet our family. And as those invitations develop and mature and are added to, it's like the Lord then begins to design our next trip based solely upon the opportunities to share the gospel with people who are seriously interested in the God of the Bible. So I tell you that to tell you that the other day we had some Chinese guests in our home. There is a believer couple, more than one actually, in our city with whom we work and who help us in the ministry, and we help. It's a trade-off. We're discipling them, this young couple, and mentoring them from the Word of God, and in exchange, they help us communicate the gospel with their people. And also, it's really exciting to see their burden for their own people grow as they stand back and they see Bruce and Lena are more concerned about our people than we are. And to some degree, that convicts them, and they begin to realize from the Bible that they're supposed to be reaching out to their own people with the gospel. And so this one young couple that has helped us a lot in the ministry announced to us that his parents were coming from China to visit. And we became very excited about this, and we planned a big welcome dinner in our home. And we hosted that dinner, and it was a delightful and wonderful time. My wife really goes all out with the decorations, and, you know, if it was me, right, guys, it'd be paper plates and plastic chopsticks. But with my wife, it was the fine china, and it was the little tiny lights in the middle of the table intertwined with all these this foliage. I don't know what to call it. It's just nice, and it's decoration, and it's beautiful, and the napkins match the foliage, and even the ice in the glasses seem to match everything. And she welcomed these people, and we fed them a delicious dinner, and then we retired to the living room, and because of the language barrier, there was a little bit of uncomfortable silence there as we sipped on our hot tea. And then the gentleman said something to his son in Chinese, and his son translated it for me, and the man's question was directly related to this truth that we're looking at this morning in God's Word. He said to me, "Why do Americans worship the God of Israel? Isn't he for Israel?" What a perceptive question. What a good question. But it gave me the opportunity to share with this man, with his own son, translating the truth of God's Word and translating the gospel for his father, which in their culture he could not do otherwise, because it is not acceptable for the younger to tell the older to repent or to make a change in their belief system or to tell the older that what they believe is wrong. That would be very inappropriate, and the son would never do that. But since the dad asked me the question, now the son is no longer a son of the father. He's simply acting as a translator, as an interpreter, and I am answering the question with the Word of God. And this is part of the answer, that God has a plan. And this is a big deal with the Asian people. I'm learning in my Chinese class that I take every week, and my teacher, who's a saint of God, loves the Lord. She and her husband also help us in the ministry there. But the textbook that we're using is teaching me that in their culture, the approach to use for the gospel isn't the same as we would use, say, with an American person. With an American person, we might say, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and he died for you to save you from your sins. That wouldn't be the introductory statement to make with these Chinese people. Instead, it would be God exists. God really does exist, because many of the Eastern religions are there for you to believe, to make yourself feel good and get through life and survive, but the stories are not necessarily true, and everybody knows that and accepts it, and it's okay. It's really kind of like postmodernism on steroids. You know, whatever's true for you and works for you is wonderful, and whatever's true for me and works for me is wonderful, but none of it's really true. So the introduction is, God exists, and I need to tell you something. He really does exist. It isn't just in our imagination. It isn't just our rabbit's foot. It isn't just our horoscope. It isn't just to help us get through life. God really exists, and more than that, He has a plan, and He has a plan for you. And here is that plan, and I explained to this man with his son translating that God in ages past knew that His people, Israel, would reject Him, but that by their rejection, God could then turn and offer Himself to China and to America and to South America and to Japan and to Europe and Mexico and all these other nations around the world could have the opportunity to know the one true and living God, because Israel has rejected her God and turned away. And I said to him, but then when the Chinese hear about the God of the Bible and that He came down to earth and became a man and died for them and rose from the dead on the third day, that those other nations will run to Him. And they will say yes to Him before the invitation is even finished. The Gentile nations will say yes. I have a close friend who is a missionary to Muslim people. And he's played a major part in getting a movie called The King of Glory. And this guy has played a major part in having it translated into the language of the people with whom he works. It's also in English, and you can use it as well for evangelism, but it's called The King of Glory, and it's a four-hour movie, approximately 2 hours Old Testament, 2 hours New Testament. And it traces the theme of the Lamb from Genesis to the resurrection. And my friend has told me that there's a three-minute promotional trailer that introduces the four-hour movie. And my friend tells me that when he shows the three-minute trailer to Muslim people after making a friendship with them, and then they begin to ask about his beliefs and his joy and his peace that he has and the security that he seems to have, he says, I can't even get past the three-minute trailer before they're ready to be saved. Amen. That is Bible. That is prophecy. The Bible says, when they hear of me, they will run to me. And I explained this to this Chinese man and his wife and his son translating, which was so wonderful because it was so perfect and God ordained, because the son, since he helps locally with the Chinese church, he knew the Bible terms and the theological terms. So many times someone will be translating for us and they don't know the terminology, so you get stuck in your presentation and it kind of knocks you off track. This was very smooth because the son knew all the Bible terms and he was able to translate. And of course, he was excited for this God-given opportunity. God was blessing him with this opportunity because he was allowing himself to be used to reach out to others. And I said to this gentleman, so when Israel rejected her God, God turned to the nations like China. And I said to him, I said, this is why thousands of Chinese people are believing in the God of the Bible every day in China. He didn't know about that. I said, yeah, your people are running to the God of the Bible. And I said, guess what? When the Gentiles run to Jehovah God and run to the Lord Jesus, one day the people of God, Israel, will see that and they will say, wait a minute, that's our God. You can't have him. We want him back. And then what happens? I looked at this guy. He's listening. He's leaning forward. I said, then God gets everything. He gets all the nations. He saves people out of Israel. He saves people out of China. He saves people out of England. He saves people out of Vietnam. We have many Vietnamese in our community as well, and we've built friendships with them, and they're listening to the gospel. And the Holy Spirit of God is calling people from every nation, including in the Augusta, Georgia area. I promise you, you have many hundreds, if not thousands, of Asian people in this area. And I want to tell you that what might surprise you is that many of them have never been invited into an American home, and they will tell us this. When we invite them and we reach out to them and they come to our house, many of them say, this is my first time, and maybe they've lived here 2 or 3 or 4 years in America, and they'll say, it's my first time in an American home, and they're very excited about it, and immediately there's a bridge for the gospel. And you and I are called of God, as Romans 10 says. Now, we didn't read this part. We read 16 through 11:1 by design, on purpose. I didn't want to take time to read the whole chapter, but you know, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel. And it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? And so my challenge to everyone this morning is to, first of all, be informed to what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world today. Jesus said when he comes into the world, he will not testify of himself. He will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is in the world today in the church age, also known as the dispensation of the Gentiles. See, this is the time in God's plan. When Israel, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So what does verse 12 say of John 1? So as many as do receive him, as many. That means now it's open to anyone and everyone. He came unto his own, Israel. Israel received him not. They rejected him. I understand Jewish people, more so today than ever before, are turning to Christ. We have many Messianic Jews today. But the rule of thumb is this, the general rule is that Gentiles readily receive Christ, whereas with Israelites, it's a labor of love. I have a lot of respect for people who are missionaries today to the Jewish people. They have their work cut out for them. And it isn't that none are being saved, but generally speaking, the Gentiles are running to the Lord Jesus and they're ready to receive Christ. I'm not saying that means that everybody you witness to in Augusta, Georgia, and Martinez is ready to be saved. It still takes friendship and relationship building. But it is possible. And actually, we can use these truths from the Word of God as we pray and ask the what? What did he say in John 4? And I'm going to talk about John 4 here in just a second. What did he say in John 4? At the end of that story, the woman at the well, he said, lift up your eyes, look on the harvest, the field, white unto harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of harvest. Pray to the Holy Spirit, who is the overseer of the harvest. He's the one doing the calling. He's the one doing the drawing. And you and I are the ones that are to be doing the praying, and we ought to come before the Lord and say, Lord, your word says this is the day of the Gentiles. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the church age. You're building your ecclesia. You're going to call out this great assembly. Lord, I want to be a part of that. Maybe you have a loved one who's unsaved, a child who doesn't know the Lord, or a mom or dad who doesn't know the Lord, or an aunt or uncle, some loved one, and you can use this as like prayer warriors of the Old Testament prayed the word of God to the Lord. And you can pray the word of God and say, Lord, this is the age when you're saving the Gentile people, and I want, and you say in Revelation that every tongue, every kindred, every tribe, every family tree has representatives before you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Please, Lord, call my son, call my dad, call my loved one, call my coworker, my friend, into that family tree. Call them into your grace. O Spirit of God, draw them to the Lord Jesus. You say here in your word that they will run to you. Please cause my loved one, my friend, to run to you and want you, Lord Jesus. That's the way we ought to be praying. That's the burden we ought to be carrying. All of us are familiar with the story in John 4, the woman at the well, and I'm not going to read the story to you necessarily. I might read a couple of verses here and there out of John 4, but you know, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I need to go through Samaria. You know why the Lord Jesus needed to go through Samaria? Because the Holy Spirit of God, he was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Matthew 4 says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. This says he was led of the Spirit of God to go through Samaria. And he told the disciples, they wanted to go around. They were prejudiced. Let's just put it plain and simple. Samaritans were Gentiles. They were of mixed Jewish and Gentile blood. So to the disciples who were, in their eyes, of pure descent, the Samaritans were dogs. And whereas they had determined to go around, Jesus said, I'm not going around, I'm going through. But not just because. Now, oftentimes we preach this passage and we're demonstrating the compassion of Jesus. And it does demonstrate that. Truly, he had compassion and showed mercy towards this woman who was living a pretty wicked lifestyle, but the Lord Jesus showed mercy on her and saved her soul. Praise the Lord for that. But this is also signifying something. It's showing something. And it isn't just in John 4. It's in John 4, 5, 6, 7. As you read, you see this over and over again. You see that the Lord Jesus was doing miracles for the Jews, and they were still rejecting him. And the reason he was doing those miracles was it was a sign to them because he was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy that had been given to Israel. And in spite of that, they rejected him. And yet what we see in this story, do you remember the woman, after she heard Jesus and even argued with him a little bit, and of course he won the argument, and she's very impressed with that, but she's also impressed that he knew all about her, and that's when she's, you know, when he said, yeah, You've spoken technically, you've spoken accurately in that you don't have a husband because you've had five of them and the one you have now is you're not even married to. And man, this woman took off running to the city and she said, hey, people, you got to meet this guy. I think I've found the Messiah. Because he told me all about myself, like no one ever has. And you remember they came out, the city came out to Jesus, and here's all these white turbans and people, you know, didn't dress in black in the heat of the day. That, you know why, because you live in hot country. But they dressed in bright clothing and white clothing to reflect the heat, not to attract the heat of the sun. And this was about the middle of the day. So here they come, and that's why the Lord Jesus said to his disciples who had come up to him by then, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white unto harvest. All these people, possibly thousands, we don't know how many, but many people coming towards the Lord Jesus. And then they besought him. What did the Jewish cities do? They begged him to leave. And sometimes if he didn't, they threw him out, or they would have thrown him out if he hadn't have gotten away from them and left of his own will. And these people besought him, come to our village, come to our city, teach us what? Your words. And many believed on him out of that city. And here's what they said to the woman. Now we believe. not because of your word, but we've heard him ourselves. In other words, the Gentiles believed simply hearing the word of God. You remember that in the passage we read? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these Gentile people, when they heard of him and they heard from him, they ran to him. You see the fulfillment of prophecy there? And that's why the next story in John chapter 4, where the nobleman wanted his son healed, I believe is the story. And the Lord Jesus said, and he wasn't necessarily speaking directly to this guy and rebuking him, but the Jews with him, the Lord Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Why was the Lord Jesus feeling that frustration in that moment? The reason is he just had a whole lot of people believe on him just because of his word. So here's the deal. God admires and loves and commends faith in his word. Faith in his word. Faith has three ingredients. Biblical faith. Effective faith, like that of Elijah, talked about in James, has three ingredients. And when you and I take that kind of faith and we put it in the word of God, that's when we begin to see the Holy Spirit work in us and through us and around us. And God is at work like this. The Holy Spirit is at work like this all around you. We just need to get in the word and inform ourselves that, one, the Holy Spirit is active and working today. He's calling people to Christ. And then we need to surrender ourselves to that in prayer, claim it in prayer, surrender ourselves to that, and then be ready. Be ready, because that's the fastest prayer you'll ever have answered. Lord, I am now aware, I read in your word that the Holy Spirit is moving in this direction. What direction? The direction of lifting up Christ and calling Gentiles to Jesus. And when we say, Lord, I want to be a part of that. And even when we say, Lord, make my loved one, my unsaved loved one, a part of that by calling them to Jesus, that's leverage in prayer, using the word of God. God loves to hear his word. And then be ready. And it doesn't mean be ready to try and bonk someone over the head and get them to repeat a prayer. Just be ready to show them the love of Christ and build a bridge and build a friendship, because what you're doing is you're earning the privilege to speak truth to them from the Word of God. And we have to do that these days, because everyone today is suspicious because of all the religious scandals and all the political uproar and all of that. People are suspicious and people are angry and there's walls up. But the Holy Spirit can overcome all of that in a moment of time if we walk in the Spirit and share God's word lovingly. Of course, you folks face a challenge that we don't, because everybody in the South is a Christian. Right? Everybody's done that before. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can overcome that too. And it begins with prayer and saying, Lord, lead me to that soul who knows they're lost. And they want help. And they're desperate. We ate at one of your local restaurants last night. And I'm sorry to say it, but we just being ourselves. You know, when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, and please, I'm not trying to exalt Bruce and Lena. We love people, and it comes through. Even when things don't go perfectly at the restaurant, treat people with love, or in the grocery store line, or in other situations where life isn't going perfectly for you. Well, neither is it going perfectly for anyone else. Love people, and when they sense that, like this waitress did last night, she said, there's a glow about you two, and thank you for being so nice, because this has been a rough day for me. And I took a gospel track. She walked away. She was tearful.
at that time, and I just wrote our email address and I wrote Lena's cell number. And when she came back, I took 10 seconds, 15 seconds, just to tell her what we do, where we're from. Here's this little booklet, this little track. Read this, but also email us, or if you want to talk to my wife, there's her cell number. She said, I'll be talking to you soon. It's not like life is compartmentalized. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we can't do this today. It's not Sunday. No, you just walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, love people, and wait on the Lord to give you opportunities, and He will. And that lady may never contact us, but then again, most of the time, people who talk like that do. And sometimes, folks, I'll sit on a flight for 3 hours and never talk about the Lord to the person next to me because the Holy Spirit doesn't give me the opportunity. He doesn't open the door. I don't force it. You just walk in the Spirit and you wait on the Lord. It's just God working, and He wants to use every person in this room right here at Westside Baptist Church. God wants to use you.